The Surgeon's Mate by Patrick O'Brien. Read by Robert Hardy. The long harbour of Halifax in Nova Scotia, on a long summer's day, and two frigates gliding in on the tide. The first, since she had belonged to the United States Navy, wore the stars and stripes under a white ensign. The second showed no more than her own shabby colours, for she was HMS Shannon, the winner in that bloody action with the Chesapeake. Although the casual observer saw little to exclaim at in the Shannon, with most of her rigging new set up, even the most unobservant could not miss the gaping void in the Chesapeake's stern. The Shannons were astonished by the prodigious sound that met them as they neared the wharves, by the cheers as they passed the men of war, each with her yards manned all over, roaring in unison, "Shannon! Hooray! Hooray!" The whole of Halifax had turned out to greet their victory, the first in a war that had started so disastrously for the Royal Navy, with three proud frigates taken by the Americans in single-ship actions. The sailors were ecstatic, but the thousands of redcoats and civilians were delighted too, and young Mr. Wallace, in command of the Shannon, could scarcely be heard when he gave the order to clew up. The port admiral coming up the side saw a sparse crew, togged to the nines but grave, and few officers to greet him. "Well done, by God," he cried. "Well done, the Shannon. Where is Captain Brooke?" "Below, sir," said Mr. Wallace, "wounded badly in the head." "Oh, damn me, I am sorry. Where is Mr. Watt?" referring to the first lieutenant, once a midshipman of his. "Dead, sir," said Wallace. "Dead?" said the admiral, looking down. "I am most heartily sorry. Did you suffer a great deal, Mr. Falconer?" "We lost 23 killed and 59 wounded, sir, a quarter of our people. But Chesapeake had above 60 killed and 90 wounded. Her captain died aboard us on Wednesday. May I say, sir," he added in a low voice, "my name is Wallace. Mr. Falconer is in command of the prize."
Just so," said the admiral. "A bloody business, Mr. Wallace. But by God, it was worth it." His eye caught a tall figure in a post-captain's uniform. "Aubrey! Aubrey, upon my life!" He stepped forward with his hand outstretched. Aubrey edged his right hand from its sling and gave the admiral's as hearty a shake as he could. "I was sure I could not mistake that yellow hair," said the admiral. "A wounded arm. I knew you was in Boston, but how come you here?"
"I escaped, sir," said Captain Jack Aubrey.
"Well done," cried the admiral. "So you were aboard for this noble victory. But I'm most damnably grieved for poor dear Watt. And for Brooke. I must have a word with him. If the surgeon... Is your arm bad?"
"It was only a musket ball in the Java action, sir. But here are the doctors, sir."
"Mr. Fox, how do you do?" said the admiral, turning to the Shannon surgeon. "Is your patient fit to receive a visit?"
"We dread any excitement at this stage, sir," said Mr. Fox. "Do you not agree, colleague?" His colleague, a small, sallow man in a blood-stained black coat, said, "Of course," impatiently. "No visits can be allowed." And he was moving away when Captain Aubrey took him by the elbow. "Hold hard, Stephen. This is the admiral, you know." Stephen looked at Aubrey with his strange, pale eyes, red-rimmed after days and nights of exertion. "Listen now, Jack, will you? I have an amputation on my hands, and I would not pause to chat with the Archangel Gabriel. I've only stepped up to fetch my small retractor from the cabin. And tell that man not to talk so loud." With this he walked off, leaving anxious looks directed at the admiral. But the great man did not seem at all put out.
"I've seen that face before. I have it. Maturin. Admiral Bowes and I were calling at the palace to inquire after the Duke, and he came out and told us how he did."
"The very man, sir. Stephen Maturin was called in to Dr. Prince William, a prodigious physician, sir, and my friend. But he sometimes gives offence without intending it. I'm not offended. It would take a great deal to put me out of humour on a day such as this. Besides, he must be a great man in the physical line to be called into the Duke. How I wish he may save poor Brooke."
"Your servant, ma'am," he cried.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?